Benzinga's Cannabis Capital Conference returns to Miami Beach on April 11th and 12th. I may be biased, but I'm telling you, this event is a can't miss. Join us to build the foundation of your next game-changing deal with CEOs and decision-makers from leading companies in the industry. We're talking about the next wave of businesses, strategies from the most profitable businesses, and exactly what investors are looking for in a challenging market. Go to bzcannabis.com to meet your next investor, co-founder, and new friends. A little pro tip from me, right now tickets are $1,000 cheaper than prices at the door. Get yours now. Good afternoon. Welcome back. It is a fresh week with a fresh face times two. Javier Haas, Elliot Lane, here to kick it back and talk some cannabis. What's up, my friend? How's the Argentinian action figure doing today?
Doing great. What about you?
I'm good, man. We're good. It's been a busy week so far. Crazy. Getting ready for the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. Y'all, the desire to be a part of this event is incredible. We got the tier one MSOs, the tops of the tops like Marimed, who you get to hear from in a little bit. Very excited about that. It's going to be an awesome one. But you guys, check out the agenda. I mean, the speakers are going to be up probably by middle of next week. But we got Truly, we got Verano, got your major vendors of the space, the people who work across all industries, like Markham, like Dwayne Morris, like Ackerman. I mean, just the list goes on. Some awesome investors already involved.
Insane.
Whew. Yeah, bzcannabis.com. That's it. That's the only one we're doing for that today. But I am thrilled about how that is turning out. And it's in Miami on the beach in April. Let's go, y'all. But Javier, they're here to hear about cannabis. What's going on today, my friend?
Sir.
Give us a few headlines.
Here's something cannabis related. This cup is also a pipe. How amazing is that?
I thought you were going to go news. You went straight product review. Yeah.
No, let's get to the news for real.
Here's I don't know if I want to exclusive. Now. You're just making me jealous. All right, keep going.
Here's a big exclusive out of Benzinga. Cannabis Team Worldwide released its 2023 Cannabis Industry Salary Guide in a partnership with Benzinga Cannabis and El Planteo. Many interesting predictions, one of them being 108,000 new cannabis jobs predicted for the U.S. in 2023.
Some quick follow-up.
Strongest. Yes.
Yeah, what was it in 2022? Did it grow year over year?
A little bit, I think, but not as much as 2021.
Okay.
It was a tough year.
Yeah, it was a tough year. So that's interesting that they're predicting over 100,000 new jobs. That seems to reach.
Keep in mind, we have like New York, Jersey, Maryland, Missouri, Illinois. All
love to be proven wrong.
Markets.
That's absolutely true. Well done.
Fingers crossed.
What else? Hey, did you hear about
cannabis?
Wait, you know what we need? We need some like really cool sound effects. That's like when you have like an RTO announcement. Just like have like an RTO hit the screen right in the middle. RTO. All right. What's up, Talia? Thank you for writing in. That's actually a great question. Great follow-up question.
So some of the most in-demand jobs actually responding to Talia on LinkedIn are CFO, controller, VP of cultivation, VP of manufacturing, VP of retail, dispensary manager, and brand manager. Those are the most on-demand jobs expected for 2023.
So very on hand. It sounds like not necessarily C-suite or super high up. However, they are decently up the food chain there.
Indeed. Let's do a rapid fire because we have three guests today. Greenlane stock trading higher today on a distribution deal in Mexico. Very interesting stuff for Greenlane. Another Benzinga exclusive. Experience the THC effects in 15 minutes or less with these new fast-acting gummies from The Botanist. The Botanist, by the way, if you want to play on the stock, is owned by Acreage Holdings, ACRDF on the OTC. Adult-use cannabis legalization is correlated with a decrease in alcohol use disorder, a new study found out of the University of Colorado Boulder. Over 40,000 commercially licensed truck drivers failed federally mandated drug screens in 2022 for cannabis. This means a bunch of truckers are now out of the...
That seems ill-advised. I feel like we need truckers right now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they are a pretty important part of our supply chain. But we can get into economic discussions later. So maybe we should update those drug testing policies. However, I mean, I guess, you know, there's a lot of fear over people driving high, people driving under the influence of anything, pills, drugs, whatever. But, you know, that's not necessarily what this is, right?
There could definitely be some kind of mandatory testing every 24 hours while they're driving, which is different from testing them. And also finding a clear difference if they're medical cannabis, you know, patients. We got to see what they're consuming. If it's only CBD, I don't know. Like, of course, I am not an advocate for driving in the, under the influence. I honestly...
Of course not. You're an advocate for that. We need to get you tested. Great comment from YouTube, The Crow. I feel like it shouldn't be it shouldn't be treated the same way as alcohol. Feel free to clarify, my friend. I'd love to hear what you mean further about that. That being said, one more news item for me, and then I really think we got to jump, my man. It's not about us today. I mean, it's always about us. But this is more about our awesome guests. But I do want to say what I was getting to earlier. RTO, hashtag RTO, Stem Holdings, and Headwaters, a greenhouse cultivator out of California, are merging. My guess is to take advantage of public markets for Headwaters, as they're going to own 80%. Their shareholders are taking over 80% of the company. So this is a very interesting update. Stem Holdings was, if you all remember, very, very centric on that farm to table cannabis. They bought, what is it, Driven Deliveries, I believe, a long time ago. And then they, you know, that they divested that. But they have been through a journey. And I'm going to be honest, they were one of those that had leadership from CPG, from, I think, Grubhub, I think Adam was with. And then I think they had somebody from Hanes, Celestial. I think they had some really interesting leadership. So it's interesting to see, not necessarily the end of the story, but the next chapter of the story for Stem Holdings. But keep an eye on that. STMH is on the OTC and STEM on the CSE. Are there tickers there? I would imagine that will shift and change. But some stock news there for you. Javi, anything else before we jump to John?
No, we have three amazing guests. I don't want to waste any time.
Me too, my friend. Me too. All right, y'all, welcome to the show, John Levine. Fresh off the new CEO title of MariMed. Very excited to dive in with him and hear what's happening with the company. There he is, John. We normally get a cool... There it is. There was the lead-in. It was right there. John, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, very good. Thank you for having me on today.
Thrilled to have you, my friend. So first and foremost, I'd like to get a little bit of background on how we came here. You know, you're the new CEO of one of the more prominent cannabis companies in the space. You know, tell us a little bit about your predecessor. Tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, about the significance he had on the space and maybe why we're sitting here today, if you don't mind.
Sure. I mean, Bob Fireman, my best friend and partner for well over 20 years, passed away from a lung disease, very young. But Bob and I got into this industry well over 12 years ago. I know Avi's done a bunch of interviews with Bob and opportunities on the show. And Bob and I got into this industry when it was purely medical, to help people improve their lives every day through the use of our products with precision dosing. And Bob was a big advocate of this industry to basically share information and wanted everybody to work together to make sure that we were giving everybody the best opportunities to get good quality medicine that was safe and easy to get access to. And he was a visionary that this would spread to a much larger market than when we first got into it, when it was California, Colorado, some others in the West Coast. But then we got asked to help in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and we kept expanding from there. And that's how we became MariMed, is that we started winning licenses in other states and advising. And today we've rolled in three of our partners into MariMed, and we're now the company that we are today because of our relationship of building through the consulting, teaching the people how to run these operations, making them profitable, and building them into successful operations in multiple states from seed to sale. And we continue that growth as we had a vision to grow this to multiple states with branded products. Bob always said, the real market here is having a branded product. Our Betty's Eddies is number one in every market that we go to. And we're just so excited to get back into the Illinois market after being out of there for 2 to 3 years. So we're looking forward to a great success as we grow into additional states.
You know, I love Bob very much, and, you know, sending my love to the family and friends. It's hard, but we have to move forward. So I'm going to just switch chips here. Already did a little bit of my morning. You closed the $35 million credit facility. That was not a seamless transition. Can you tell us a little bit about the new money that came into MariMed and what you plan to do with it? I know it really enables expansion across new markets, strategic development. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, as you've seen our numbers for the last couple of years, and Bob and I were in discussion of how to speed up the process. Yeah, we get slowed down by a lot of the government policies in each of the states trying to get approvals to open. But what we've been doing over the last several years is growing through internal cash flow, because there hasn't been much of a market for equity raises. So we've been growing internally at a pace that we feel really comfortable. We've been very cautious the way we spend money. Our balance sheet, even with this $35 million, is still one of the strongest in the industry. We're producing a lot of positive cash flow still. So bringing this $35 million in is going to help us focus on the growth that we had already started, but speed it up so that we don't have to build it out at a slower pace. We're moving into Missouri. We're finishing our cultivation and processing center in Illinois to bring back the Betty's Eddies and our Born and everything else. I mean, we're going to have all of our product line there in that state. So we're very excited to get back in with our branded products. I mean, it's going to be exciting. But then we're also taking advantage of this to grow in Massachusetts. We have one more license that we hope to get closed out and opened as quick as possible. We're building out a little bit more of our facility in our New Bedford facility, which is processing and grow to handle the demand, especially with Betty's and Bubby's and Vibations really taking off, being real top sellers in the state. The demand is there for us to have a little bit bigger production, need some additional grow to get that flower. But we're also opening up another dispensary in Beverly, Mass. And then we're going to expand more in Illinois with another purchase of a retail store. We'll be up to 5 moving into Casey, Illinois. And lastly, we have the Ohio dispensary that we're opening. And it's not going to stop there. We're going to use this money to help build those out, get the cash flow up even quicker. That will give us additional cash flow to continue to grow across the country.
I have a few follow-up questions for you here. And I know you can give me a good politically correct answer here, but just in case you have one on the top of your head, what is your favorite state right now? Like, what state excites you, gets you up in the morning being like, God, MariMed's going to be so good in that state?
I'm not going to answer that because we haven't announced anything. My favorite state right now is all the states that we're in. No, but Illinois is right now my favorite state to focus on, having our cultivation and processing facility underway. Once we get our Betty's Eddies back in that state, we were number one for 2 years in that state. We have had people chasing us for 2+ years asking, when are you bringing Betty's back? Well, everybody, we're back. We're going to come strong. We got a whole new slew of effects, as you can see over my shoulder, that the Betty's Eddies is expanded. So there's a lot of new flavors and other ways that people can enjoy the Betty's and our other products.
Awesome, my friend. So let me ask you one more question here. I'd like to zoom out a little bit on the industry at large. You know, I think last year we ended with such a negative sentiment. We just assumed this year was going to be terrible. But I hop on the call with a lot of leaders in the industry right now. And some of them, it's just business as usual. You know, it sucks. You know, they wanted safe, but they didn't necessarily need it to continue, you know, reaching for being cash flow positive. I just want to get your sentiment in your sense of how the industry is health-wise right now versus how you look at it in respect to MariMed.
Well, safe, we've never looked at safe going to be the big effect of the industry. We've always operated as if it was going to stay status quo. I mean, this industry, as I said, Bob and I got into this so far back. I mean, we were in California and we were just learning that there was no banks or anything. kind of like Colorado, you have to figure out what to do with the cash. But we did find banks that would do business with us. We did have the very first mortgages, which we never shared with anybody how we did it, but we just went into regular banks and talked to them about putting a mortgage on real estate and nothing to do with the cannabis industry. So the safe banking helps. What the issue is with safe banking is to grow this industry and to give everybody in each state the ability to have those social equity people survive. You need safe bank. There is no ability for a small person to get into this industry and compete. This is a very, sure. very tough industry, especially with the price corrections that have just hit almost every state. We're all seeing the price reductions of the flower going down and what we can sell it for. But the bigger problem is the cost of manufacturing is going the other way. All those costs are going up. So to be able to make margin is really, you have to have a very popular brand with consistency, which is what MariMed always had for a motto, is that we're here because people know that they get a pure, good quality product that they can count on, that they're going to get precision dosed edibles, and our flower is always going to be the top flower in the state. Why? Because we care. We want to make sure we give the consistent quality. It's like buying a Coca-Cola. You want a Coke, you know it's going to taste.
Totally.
That's what we want. We want to be able to give you the bud. When you crack it open, you get that great scent coming out of the bottle, put it into that cup of tea and smoke it out of that little cup that you were looking at there a little earlier. it's what we care about, is making sure that our customers get that consistent quality. And that's one of the main focuses, is making sure that we help our patients or our customers every mm-hmm. day with the quality of life and then making their lives better.
One last question to close it up. And it's on two states. One is, I know you were going to launch for adult use in Michigan, which is, as our viewers know, home state of Benzinga. And one other question from the chat, Russ Stewart asked, what is your timeline for New York? So what's up with Michigan? What's up with New York? Let's close it up.
Michigan, we were in negotiations. We had an agreement with a group. But with the price reduction and the cost of the product materials going up, there was no way to enter that market and be able to survive. So we have put Michigan on hold unless we can find a solution to go in there on our own, whether we buy a license or do something for seed to sale. But at this time, Michigan is on a hold. We're focusing on some other states like New York. New York is a very interesting market. It's a market that is going to be very tough to enter because of the lack of control within the state and the policing of it by the state. The fact is it's a lot like a young California where everybody was running rampant and you could buy more stuff on the street than you could in the store. And we want to go into a market that makes sense. New York is going to be a young state that's going to grow, but it's their pricing to get into the market that we're reviewing very carefully to make sure when is the right time for us. We're being very cautious about how we spend our money, and we want to make sure we use it on states that we know we can get into and turn around quickly. We are still looking at other states in the area. I mean, we're from New England, so going into Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, those are top states for us to look at. We're concentrating on them, but we want to be smart about it. I do think that because of the banking not passing and people not being able to get their facilities built up because of the lack of money, that there's going to be opportunities for us to sit there and cherry pick what we feel the right ones for MariMed to succeed.
My friend, John, it's a pleasure having you with us today. You have some people vouching for you in the chat here. Rustikale, you know, says, carry that torch, John. He is rooting for you, man, but also looking forward to NASDAQ and NYSE listing, as I know all of us are. whenever it's possible, man, go for that holdings company. You know, we'll see how that works. But John Levine, CEO of MariMed, MRMD is their ticker. Really a pleasure to chat with you today, John, and really looking forward to having you in Miami with us, where we get your insights on a couple different pieces of content, my friend. Until then, be healthy, be well.
Thank you, guys. It was great seeing you both. See you in Miami.
Yes, sir.
See ya.
Awesome. Great conversation. Really nice to catch up with John. Honestly, it sounds like things are going well. Shareholders should be comfortable with that, with what's happening at MariMed. And honestly,
that's what they said in the chat.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Rustakill, actually, to your point, STMH, I don't know if you all know this, and we'll get to our next guest shortly, but if you go to the Benzinga app, and then you just click on a ticker, it just takes you right to their quote page and chart. It's wonderful. Download the Benzinga app. That's my sales pitch for this transition. But that being said, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay with us. Next up, we have Chris Violas, CEO of Blaze. Chris, how are you, my friend? Welcome in. Is that a cello?
Hey, you got it right. Most people guess violin or viola, so good job. Yes, that is a cello.
Well, I have been playing violin since I was five, so you and me have a jam date soon, my friend.
I had to find out about that on Instagram. How many years have we been friends?
A lot. I don't know. I just found out on live stream that Chris Violas plays cello, and now him and I are besties. Chris, my friend, outside of playing cello, tell us about you, my friend.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me on. Really excited to be here. I'm the co-founder, CEO of Blaze. Spend a lot of my time on cannabis and technology and the intersection of those things. But at the end of the day, it's pretty simple. We want to help our operators sell more, and that's it. So we got a lot of things to talk about, but that's what I do for the most part.
That is a great boilerplate.
Pretty straightforward. So
what are things that help retailers sell more?
Yeah. So look, I mean, just to introduce Blaze, Blaze is a retail software for the cannabis industry. So we're doing the point of sale, the delivery management. We just made a really exciting acquisition of Timber to really step into that e-commerce place, which we can talk about. But not just that, it's getting into the insights, the data behind the scenes to help these folks get more efficient with what they're doing. So really looking at the data, we help surface that and keep these guys compliant day to day. Really exciting to hear some of the topics you're talking with John about in Illinois, New York. We just launched the very first recreational dispensary in New York.
Awesome.
The 27th of December last year. So really excited to kind of plant our flag, and we're certainly excited about that market. That was a great release for us. And then we've got our first customer in Illinois going live here pretty shortly as well. So we're really starting to expand outside the West Coast, get to the East Coast, and hopefully, you know, bridge the center here this year.
Also, shout out to Allison Reich on the chat. Kind of disappointed he doesn't play the viola. I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that.
Nope.
That being said, my friend, we'll get in, I think, to forward-looking items here, you know, in a second. I'd love to hear your thoughts on some of these markets. But you, in 2022, it seemed an inward look for you in the sense of partnerships. You have some really cool ones that you've announced over the past few months. Obviously, the acquisition. Tell us a little bit about, not necessarily the final product, but where we're at now compared to where we were at a year ago with Blaze.
Yeah, look, we've been very busy, the entire team. So we've continued our trend of just growing the business 100% year over year. So this was a third year running. Pretty excited to say that.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, it's not just about the partnerships. That's definitely it. But it's providing value to our customers, right? Do these combinations, these partnerships actually produce something more to help these operators out? That's really what we're focused on. So if you look back over the last 12 months, we've made, you know, two acquisitions, which we're very excited about. One was the Green Line acquisition up in Canada that we talked about, another point of sale to really service that market. And then we just announced the Timber acquisition. So Timber's been a partner for us for 4 years. They've been an e-commerce partner, and we found ourselves referring them a lot. One, because they do right by the customers and really invest into the relationships that they have. But they have a best-in-class product. It's hands down. Our top 30 customers on our platform leverage Timber. And they've been beating out all the other e-commerce players that I'm sure you guys know of. They're common in the space. But it's their native architecture and the way they integrate into our system. It's pretty clear to see the difference. But we're really excited to see that one manifest. And that's just a relationship that's been building for the last 4 years. And we've been getting closer and closer. And finally, you know, it made sense as, hey, no one's really digging in deeply into the point of sale and e-commerce connection. Let's make that special. Let's really turn up the heat on that. Let's make sure, you know, you just showed off your Benzinga mobile app. That's one of the cool things that Timber can do, actually, is they can create apps for these customers, for these dispensary operators. So they don't have to rack up a massive text messaging bill and trying to create a community and speak with their customers. They can do it through the apps, send push notifications, engage them that way. Track their delivery. So we're really excited about the ecosystem that we've created for our operators. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're just getting started. So a lot to say there, but generally that's how what we've been up to for the last 12 months is really just finding more value for our operators and then bringing that forward. Another example of that would be our Blaze Insights product that we launched in Q4. And that thing's really starting to take off this year as well. So no more crazy spreadsheets with controllers and CFOs going in there and trying to connect the dots. No, we actually have a bunch of operators that gave us a lot of feedback to build this product so they have everything in one place. But really excited that's focusing on the operational data set that's coming out of those.
That's an ERP?
That's a business insights. So we're taking into account all the data that's all the sales data, right? The inventory data and things like, you know, if you ask a dispensary, you know, how often do you reorder? What do you have to liquidate? Those are things that they'll say, hey, we'll get back to you because you have to run a bunch of analysis, cross-reference reports. We have a recommendation engine that they can literally just hit go and we'll tell them what they need to liquidate when. We'll tell them when to reorder. All those things are things that we're bringing forth within that tool.
I'm interested in your payment solution as well, right? Like you're processing debit and there's a lot of debate around that. Is how compliant is it? How do you accomplish it, right? I assume it's compliant, right? So how do you accomplish that and how is it different from other payment solutions?
Yeah, look, we have a full dedicated payments team at Blaze, and you know, we don't really have a preference on the PIN debit, but or other payments products. We want to make sure it's the right fit for that operator. So when we talk about online orders, ACH is a great fit there, right? Because we can go ahead and process that payment pretty legitimately through the ACH rails. But when it comes to the payment side, it's about finding the right partners and vetting them thoroughly, like very thoroughly. If they can't give you any kind of stance on how, you know, what they're doing to protect against AML, right? That's a problem. That's a red flag. So our team goes through and vets each partner that we work with very thoroughly. But at the end of the day, look, we have what we have to work with in the US. Canada is a very different story. We can totally process credit cards up there and we love that about Canada. But the US definitely, it's got some challenges, right? And so we do our best to vet those, make sure that they're following all the right compliance pieces.
Mm-hmm. Quick, I guess, follow up on the tech side or new part of the conversation, either one. Where do you all sit on loyalty and creating consumer loyalty through your platform for your operators? Is that something you're looking at this year or is that something you're already working on?
Yeah, already working on. Look, we've got some great partnerships there with SpringBig and Alpine IQ. You know, those are some best in class solutions that can help facilitate that. But at the end of the day, we also have our own loyalty program. And so part of the reason why we went after Timber is to better bridge that connection between e-commerce loyalty and what happens in store. A lot of people can't make that connection between someone that's buying repeatedly online and also in store, and we want to make sure we bridge that gap. So yeah, a lot more to come this year on the loyalty piece, so keep your eyes out. We'll be sure to be announcing that here
on our show.
I would love to.
What is, you know, the biggest tech challenge that no one has managed to solve so far for cannabis retailers?
That's a big, big question. I would say, look, everyone's got their own angles on what they're doing, but what I'm finding at least is you may have there's no one solution that rules them all. You're going to have some ancillary solutions come in to provide some things like payroll as an example, right? But at the end of the day, we're really focused on creating best in class tool sets. It's great to have tool sets that kind of fit all the needs, but if they're just okay, that's not really progressing you forward. And so I find that we're seeing a lot of these connections, whether it be on the payroll side, the accounting, whether it be on e-commerce, loyalty, they're just kind of following status quo. And so for us, we're really focused on that best in class experience, and Timber's a great example of that. But I think that's really it. Who can create the best ecosystem that's fully connected? That is really, really important. So I wouldn't say there's one overarching massive challenge other than just making sure everything flows. And we're trying to do more with less. Our operators are trying to do more with less. And a lot of that is going to come down to the tool sets that they're using to get that benefit, and those efficiencies.
And the fewer providers doing so, which seems like you are on a warpath there in a good way. In that sense, let's wrap up here. You know, I told us we'd bring us back to it, and I think we will. About the markets, about what you're seeing. I mean, do you need to adjust what you do in these, you know, different emerging markets? B, what's exciting you right now? You know, do you see some of your partners thriving in certain states? I'd love to hear your perspective from what you're doing around some of these states coming online or that could come online.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're at Blaze, we've historically had a really big focus on the SMB market, right? The small, medium business market. Not to say we don't love the Johns at Mary Meds and the MSOs out there. They're fantastic. But traditionally, we found ourselves working with kind of the 1 to 10 type of location operators, right? That can really generate a community. And so I'm really excited about some emerging markets. New York is one of them. Obviously, we were able to plant our flag there, but really excited to see that growth. New York is certainly focused on the SMB side of the house with their social equity play and what they're doing with the card applications. So really excited to see that. We're seeing New Jersey, Connecticut start to pop up. So we're excited about that. I think Florida coming up in, I think it's 24 to go full rec is going to be interesting. So look, the East Coast is exciting, certainly, and want to continue to see those states flourish. I also think, you know, John alluded to his excitement around Illinois. I'm also really excited about Illinois and those operators out there. But I think at the end of the day, New York's going to be a huge, huge push for the industry. That whole tri-state area is going to be massive. So we're really excited about that particular region.
Love it, my friend. Chris Viola, CEO of Blaze. Any other thoughts, perspectives you want to leave us with, my friend?
Oh, man. We covered a lot already, but I think at the end of the day, just really excited to see omnichannel flourish more. You know, I started off the podcast, yeah, hey, we need to help these folks sell more, right, and more efficiently. And so omnichannel is definitely that way to do it, right? Not just selling on your website, but selling on these marketplaces, selling on your mobile app, in store, on the kiosk, right? Offering delivery, meeting the customer anywhere they want to be met. I mean, that is the name of the game here, yeah, reducing friction for any transaction. So that's what we're focused on. That's our mission. And that's pretty much it from my end.
Awesome, my friend.
A cello sounds cool, but an orchestra sounds cooler.
It does, man. Let's get together. It'd be fun.
Come on. That'd be a good t-shirt. Blaze. And then that quote on the back. Anyways, Chris Violas, thank you so much for joining us. CEO, really appreciate your time, my friend. We look forward to catching up with you when you announce your loyalty thing on our podcast.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Be well, man. Awesome. I got to say, some two great interviews so far. I'm decently surprised about the excitement, yeah, around Illinois. I'm not saying the operators in Illinois are not worth being excited about. Everybody, cool your jets. I like Illinois operators. All I'm saying is that today really is the first positive I've had, I've heard, I should say, from leaders about Illinois over since at least for a few months. I don't know about you.
No, totally. Honestly, it's one of those states, like after California, it's the other one that people were like, this has been played out. This has been played out. And honestly, I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I agree.
And when Javi doesn't know,
what happened?
You tune in.
I never know. What do I know?
Yeah, well, quite a lot. That's why you have started the Benzinga Cannabis team. We'll say that you and Patrick Lane.
You know more than I do by now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. That being said,
I see your news. I see your news. Your news show every day. I'm like, huh, I did not know that.
Even Javier watches Cannabis Daily. Y'all tune in. Same channels that you're on right now. Cannabis Daily every morning around 8:20-ish, 8:30. Honestly, I'm supposed to do it at 8:15. I'm not going to lie to you all. And I usually am on around 8:25. I feel sorry for Osla, my producer, that every morning. She's always waiting like 10 minutes on me. I got to be better. I'm telling you all, I'm going to get better. That being said, Rest of Kale, appreciate you all. Matt Yount, Franken Beans, great name. The Crow, yep. Expect a breakout on BCAN. All right, we'll keep an eye on it. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. We have one more interview. We're bringing you three interviews this week, and I gotta say, it's my last one of the week, so we're ending it strong. Javi is on his own on Thursday, so enjoy that. You're gonna get the man with the plan himself. But that being said, please welcome Matt Garipa, Chief Development Officer of Order.co. I threw in the .co just for you, Matt. I hope you know that.
Thank you.
But it's just order, right?
Order.co. We love the branding. Oh. We want to make sure people find us. So you are on the forefront. You are an advocate. Thank you for that.
Awesome. Order.co. I thought I was making a joke, but I was just doing him a solid.
How are you? That,
what's up, Matt? How are you, man? Welcome in.
Doing great. Excited to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, thrilled to have you. You Thank are you. Bringing a brand new business, at least from our audience's perspective, to cannabis space. You've been in it for a little bit, but tell us a little bit about what Order does in the space.
Yeah, so Order kind of at our core is a purchasing platform. The goal is to simplify buying for businesses and vendors, and we operate across a bunch of industries. So we started and still have our core offerings in fitness and wellness, in non-acute healthcare, and in retail. But our fastest growing market, and one that I personally am super excited about, is the cannabis sector. Right now, we've got more than 1,500 locations on the platform, more than 150 companies spending $10 million a month plus at about 5,000 vendors. So what we're building in this space is this ecosystem that just makes purchasing easier, makes managing your expenses easier. And then in building this, we've also developed an embedded finance product that makes running your business easier. So it's just a Nice. Really exciting time to be in cannabis.
Can you break down what purchasing means, right? Because it might sound obvious to those in retail. I am not in retail, so I'm not sure exactly what it means, because it means completely different things in different industries. And even within the same industry, right? One of your clients is Hugo Boss. Someone could be purchasing products, and then you have like a purchasing manager who just selects collections abroad to inspire. Like, so what is purchasing exactly?
Yeah, so great question. And that's something we deal with a lot, is the education element. For us, it's anything you need to run your business. So when I think about purchasing in its broadest sense, and I'll kind of double click on cannabis today, I think about, you know, the day-to-day, the costs of goods sold to run your business. So you have to buy seeds, you've got to buy soil if you're a cultivator, you've got to buy display cases if you're a retailer. It's things you just need to keep the business running. And then other expenses like marketing, like, you know, Google AdWords, things you need to make sure you get brand out there and people know how to find you. What we want to do is make it easy for you to buy all the things you need to run your business, and to do it in an efficient way as possible, meaning you get complete control over that purchasing experience and you have 100% visibility on every dollar that exits your bank account.
How is it? I mean, you use the word easier a lot when you described it, right? So what is different about Order?
Yeah, so what shocked me before seeing how we do things is how manual the process used to be. So frequently, you'd get someone on the ground, boots on the ground, someone in the store, emailing an Excel spreadsheet over to some VP somewhere else saying, hey, these are the things I need. And be five or six columns mm-hmm. of God knows what. And you just get an email that's just like, that is, yes.
If you're lucky, I take pictures off.
And that was best in class. Exactly right. It was chaos. And that's what we were competing with. And now when you bring your business in order and you come on the platform, you get controls, you get approval workflows, you get streamlined purchasing that can wind up in your accounting system or in your ERP for visibility from everyone, from the front desk person all the way through your CFO and to your board. It just brings a level of control and visibility that, you know, I just don't think you can get anywhere else.
That's very cool. So when it comes to cannabis, I mean, is there an obvious gap in terms of, you know, the people you're working with thus far? You know, what was the gap in cannabis that you all are helping to fill? If there was one, is it similar to other industries, I guess is a better question, or is this a whole new battlefield for you all entirely?
So what we saw is when we entered the space, there were a lot of similarities, but it feels like because of certain federal regulation, cannabis is at an even bigger structural disadvantage. So cannabis mm-hmm. companies still had the same visibility problems, control problems, approval problems that some of the other verticals we deal with are in. But when we started really thinking about our embedded finance offering, for example, we saw the problem more acute in cannabis than anywhere else. So for every business on the platform, it's kind of a pain to negotiate with every single one of your vendors for net terms. But for cannabis businesses, it's sometimes impossible. For a lot of our businesses, it's hard to open up a, you know, bank debt facility. For a lot of cannabis businesses, it is literally impossible. With Order, we have this embedded finance product at your point of purchase. So if you want net 30 terms on everything you buy, that's standard. You get that for free when you sign up for Order. If you need more time to pay, we'll line up for a small fee, getting you an additional 30 days. If you need capital to help you launch a new brand or you want to open up a new store and you don't want to deal with the hassle of a months-long bank negotiation, we have a cash advance product where for a very reasonable fee, you can access capital, build the business you need to build. And as cash flow starts coming in, that's when you're obligated to make payments. So our goal is to kind of align our interest with our business's interests. And in cannabis, they don't always have as many advocates who are, you know, rooting for them as some of the other legacy.
I don't know if you saw both Javier and I's head tilt when you started talking about capital flow, but it's a conversation for sure in this space. But tell me, I mean, what was it something that you saw, you know, some of your clients in the space were, or in any space, having trouble paying? Or is it something that you saw that we could probably get more clients if we did this? I'm just curious, what was the incentive and how has it been taken advantage of so far?
Yeah, so we always take a customer first approach here. So our clients' problems are our problems and we want to solve them the best we can. And what we saw, particularly in cannabis, is the cash conversion cycle was just challenging. So I think back to very early on when we entered the space, we were talking to a lot of cultivators and they'd have this really difficult decision, particularly the ones who had kind of wholesale and retail operations, is, well, they can sell some product wholesale and those are pretty tight margins, or they can sell them retail, but they need capital to transform the raw material into something they can package and brand and sell. And accessing that capital just wasn't possible. So they'd wind up selling so much wholesale, making almost no profit. And that was effectively a loss leader to building what would be a months-long process of some retail launch. In every other space, finance has solved that problem. It's a cash flow issue. If you have a sound business and you're just a few months out from getting cash in, just access the capital sooner. And we brought in someone who's been in cannabis banking for nearly a decade now, Warren Brown, who just built this product from the ground up and just understood what cannabis businesses needed at their core and built a product that suits their needs for flexibility and access to, you know, cash at a fair rate.
I'm going to close it up with an internationally facing question and, you know, pretty self-explanatory. Does order.co work outside the US? Do you have plans for it to work outside the US? If it works outside the US, which functions are available? Which ones are limited? Is this kind of like credit facility or cash advance available? I would like to understand where you stand in all this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are live outside of the US. So for kind of the software suite, the visibility, the control, we're live in 20 or so countries. So happy to speak to anyone on any front there. Regulations are a little bit different, particularly when you're trying to move money. So our embedded payments and embedded finance offerings, we take on, it's really more of a currency by currency basis rather than a country by country basis. But we love having conversations. At our core, we're problem solvers. So if you've got a problem and you just happen to not be on US soil, so what? We'll help you solve it. And if we can do it in a way that we can scale and then bring to hundreds and thousands of other businesses around you, even better.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. Awesome. Matt, so how do people reach out to you? I mean, what should they be looking for when reaching out to you? I mean, honestly, like, it seems like you're an all-in-one provider for a B2B solution. So, you know, I guess the education here for me is just making sure we make you available to the companies out there. So, you know, how should they go about finding you?
Yeah, so we appreciate anyone who will introduce us as order.co. So now people know exactly what to type into a URL to find us. Amazing. So that's really the easiest way. If you're on our website, you can request a demo. But the goal for us is to just really bring the ecosystem we're building to every single cannabis business in America, frankly, to every business everywhere over time. But we really see a lot of benefit from the kind of economies of scale we're building. The more buyers on the platform gives us the ability to, you know, aggregate, to access more purchasing power, to reach more vendors. The more vendors we bring onto the platform, the better we can offer superior products to the buyers. And as this network effect continues to grow, it just becomes an insane competitive advantage to everyone in the ecosystem. So, you know, the goal is get the word out there, get everyone in on this ecosystem and make sure sure that we can bring this level of efficiency to everyone all of the time.
I got one more question.
That. It's like ways. Right?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Well said, Javi. I got one more question for you, Matt. What is your biggest vertical right now? Your biggest industry?
I'd have to say cannabis by most metrics. Mm. We are solving a problem in cannabis that we are passionate about, that we care about, and that frankly, we're doing in a creative way that resonates with the creative entrepreneurs in the cannabis space already.
Love that. Matt Garipa, Chief Business Officer of Order.co. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
it's really
guys.
A pleasure to learn about what you're doing over there. And honestly, I can't wait to see you continue to roll out new products, to roll out new parts of your ecosystem. It's really fun, man. So thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It was awesome being here.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Fun.
All right. All right. Three killer guests today. We started with the CEO of MariMed. And really, you know, this whole episode for me, the whole month of January so far, I really do want to say dedicated to Bob Fireman, that the man was a pillar of this industry. He was a good friend of Benzinga, and he really helped a lot of people build access to cannabis. So Bob Fireman, you're always in our thoughts, my friend. But John Levine, the company is in good hands. Thank you again for joining us, as well as Chris Viola, Matt Garipa. It's really, really a pleasure to learn what's happening on the tech side as well. Some new ecosystems, some new markets. It's a lot of fun. Allison, Rustikale, Matt, Franken Beans. Never going to get over that name. It's amazing. The Crow, really appreciate everybody joining us. Talia, thank you so much for dropping your questions in. We love it. We'll see you here on Thursday /Javier. We'll see you here on Thursday. Anything else you want to say before we hop off, my friend?
BZCannabis.com and join us at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami at the Fountain Blue Hotel, April 11th and 12th. And if you're into psychedelics, we're doing the Psychedelics Capital Conference on the 13th. Be there or be square. That's it for me.
All right, you guys. Thanks. Peace. We'll be right back.